Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Sage. Welcome to Queendom of Sage Wisdom. Tonight's show is brought to you by Sage Wisdom International. I hope everybody had a happy day. I have here tonight a phenomenal guest, Bruce George. He has so many things wrapped up into one package. He's a visionary, a writer, a poet, a Peabody Award winner, an executive producer, the co-founder of HBO's Deaf Poetry Jam, and the founder of Geniuses Common, a revolutionary movement that's transforming the minds of people all over the world. Good evening, Bruce. Welcome and thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm truly blessed. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. I am so great. And just excited to have you here tonight. We're going to learn about Geniuses Common, this wonderful, just amazing movement that you've created, that you're the founder of. So I know the audience is going to be so just excited to hear everything you have to say.
Well, I'm excited to be here as well. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, great. Well, first of all, I would like to thank the good Lord for blessing me to be here before you. I would like to thank Beverly Black with Tribe Family Channel for hosting this show. I would like to thank you, Sage Crystal, with Queendom of Sage Wisdom, you know, hosted by Sage Crystal, and I'm excited to be here. I want to thank your listening audience for listening in.
Wonderful. So tell us about Geniuses Common.
Okay, well, first of all, before I do that, I would like to just, again, thank the good Lord for blessing me to be here before you and to say that, you know, I'm, as you had stated, you know, the different things that I do, I'm mainly all about my work being my ministry. And so, because it's not about the I, it's about the we, it's not about the individual, it's about the collective. So I always like to start out with that before I jump into exactly what I'm doing. I like to say and state exactly what I'm about and who I am. And so I'm a child of God first and foremost, and my work is my ministry. And so a part of that ministry is God blessing me to be able to be one of the founders of the Poetry Jam and to have that creative pocket that God has blessed me with. So a part of that, or out of that creative pocket God has blessed me with, being the founder of the Geniuses Common movement, and all of the projects that God has blessed me with were created out of activism. I've been an activist before it was fashionable, to be one. You know, I'm an educator, writer, entrepreneur, and I would go around the country and I would ask, when you hear the word genius, what image comes to mind? And they would always say Einstein or a light bulb or Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook. Every now and then, say, we get a Jordan, you know, and so that troubled me, you know. So I said, well, let me write a quote about that. A part of my genius is I'm a quoteologist. I've been into quotes for over 40 years now, so I'm dating myself, and I'm blessed with that. And so I said, well, let me write a quote. And I said, notwithstanding Einstein, genius is common. And then from there, that quote turned into the slogan, Genius is Common, and then from there, it turned into the entire movement. As we speak, since the latter part of 2014, we have a presence in all 50 states, and now 11 countries and growing. And so the movement is really, really on fire. And one reason why a lot of people are jumping on board with the movement is because of the fact that we're making history. So Sage, have you heard of, because you're part of the movement, and we appreciate you. You've heard of, in order to be considered a genius, you need 130, 140 IQ. You've heard of that before, correct?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah,
and that's,
exactly.
Before genius is common, that was the only definition of being a genius.
Exactly. Well, that was an arbitrary number made up at Stanford University to make you 1% of the population, which is rooted in elitism. And so, you know, I did my research and I found out that, you know, the true etymology of the word genius doesn't appeal to intellect primarily at all. That the true etymology of the word genius is out of Northern Africa, not Rome, like they state, or ancient Rome, like they state, out of North Africa, and that word is genius, or genie, rather. So the genie is the guiding tutelary spirit of a person, right? Some call it God. I'm a believer, so I call it God. Some call it source energy, you know, and some call it other things. And so basically, we all have a genius seed in us, which I believe is the God in us. So the genius in us is the genie in us, and the genie in us is the God in us. You've heard Sage when they say the genie in a bottle, right? And so the bottle, we're the bottle. And the genie in the bottle is the God in the bottle, or the God in us. You know, and so I don't problematize the people. I just basically say that we all have a genius seed. Some call it God, some call it other things. And so, the movement is doing extremely well. Praise God, thanks to you, Beverly Black, Renata Brown out of Atlanta, a whole host of people, all of the licensees that are involved with the movement. I want to shout them all out and give them their proper. I mean, it's just like really just catching on like crazy, because you take a young lady from a housing project, who Michael Braid's hair, like Picasso painted, that's a genius. You take a gentleman who has been buffing floors for over 40 years, but it's wet, but it's dry, that's his genius. T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes is a genius of a bishop, right? Dave Chappelle is a genius of a comedian. So everybody has what is called a genius seed, which just needs watering. So that's basically what genius is coming movement as well.
That is wonderful. And, I just want to let you know, I am very proud to be a member of Genius and His Common. I want to do my part in sharing my genius, especially with young people. We need so many positive role models and so many leaders in our community. We need to have strong, sharp minds that will dominate our culture and society. We have the power. We just, like you said, we just need to tap into it. And I remember when you asked me what my genius was, you know, my first reaction was, whoa. You know, it really woke me up. It woke me up, and I am grateful for that. And that's how I see the genius of common movement. You know, it wakes everybody up. It just wakes you up. And one of the beautiful things about it is, it allows us to see ourselves from the inside out. Mm-hmm. It allows us to know our truth, a truth that has been systematically hidden from us for hundreds and hundreds of years. So we are walking
about. I love how you said that. Inside out. From the inside out, because that's where it starts, from the inside. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And, I was just going to say that we just, there's such thing as being alive but asleep. And many of us are not woke.
Exactly.
We're not woke. You know, we have all kinds of problems, you know, because we're not woke. We're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, financial problems, relationship problems, communication problems, health problems, all kinds of problems. You know, I like to say that thing, you know, one of my things I like to say is, you broke because you're not woke, you know.
Exactly.
You know, you can't be woke and broke. So these are the things that, you know, I think that Genius in Common is really going to do, and it's doing now, is just waking everybody up.
I appreciate that.
That's the way I see, because that's what it did to me. And it, you know, when you asked me that, I couldn't come up with an answer right away. And I love that you pulled that out of me. And I had to think about my genius myself. Like, what am I a genius at? And I remember when I was an athlete, as a young person, I thought that was my genius. But I stopped thinking about that a long time ago. And now you've got me, and ever since that day you asked me that, I never forgot that. It woke me up, literally.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty deep. I mean, William Cooper, he had written a book called Beyond the Pale Horse. And he talked about people that are asleep, right? And the people that he was talking about.
I didn't hear it.
Can you hear me?
I'm having a little, I mean, I can hear you, but what's the name of the book?
Okay, it's called William Cooper. Yeah, the author's name is William Cooper, right? And the name of the book is called Beyond the Pale Horse. Can you hear me now?
Okay. No, I've never heard of it.
Okay, yeah, well, Beyond the Pale Horse, it basically breaks down how we've been socially engineered and through the government. And so anyway, he calls people that are asleep engineering. So I was making that comment in reference to when you said that people are basically asleep. You know?
Yes, well, you know, if you do any kind of research or just even observe, it's just not, you don't even need to go as deep as researching. If you have some wisdom about you, just the observation of what's going on, you know, in our culture, in the world, that's what's happening. Because, you know, in our culture, you know, the Black African-American culture, you know, we are really asleep because we never created our own reality. You know, our realities was given to us by the government and all the powers that be. That's why, you know, you look around today and see the conditions that we're living in, you know, that we have been systematically discriminated against and then actually treated unconstitutionally. We can wake up to the fact that our Fifth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the 13th and 14th Amendment are being denied to all of us as African Americans. And those are, and it's not over, you know, this is still happening today. And this is a book called The Color of Law by this person named Richard Rothstein. And he breaks it down of how systematically the government government imposed housing and segregation, and how it's still going on today. And he was talking about what happened in Ferguson and Milwaukee and these other places where uprisings are occurring now. You have all these Black men and women who are being killed by police officers with no impunity. They just get off for murdering Black women and men. And one of the reasons for that is the law. You know, and a lot of the jurisdictions that are still operating in this country have us listed as second-class citizens, as slaves. So there's a lot of deep stuff going on, and that's why I said we're asleep, because we keep wondering why all these things are happening, why police officers are murdering Black and Black men and women and not getting penalized for it. I mean, some of them don't even lose their jobs, and that's because we have to look deeper into what's going on. We have to look much deeper. See, we're protesting and all that, but we're attacking it from the wrong angle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I love Genius's Common, though, because of the wake-up factor in it.
I like how you said that, the wake-up factor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what you said about our socialization is definitely spot on, and you know, it's definitely spot on, right? You know, James Baldwin said whiteness is a metaphor, but my retort to that is Blackness is a metaphor of power, right? And so with fear, a definition of power is the ability to include or exclude. That's a definition of power. One definition of power, specialized in power, is the ability to include or exclude. So they're not going to include us. You know, this system isn't broke. If you think that the system is broke, then they got you exactly where they want you to be. And they have you thinking the way you they want you to think. No, the system is working well. The system isn't broke. It's designed to do exactly what it's doing. Ozzie Davis said the best. He said, being an African-American, however, implies that something at the core of your existence is in crisis mode will be at some point in life. He also said all struggle between the power to resist and the power to oppress. So you can't retire from the struggle. I don't give a damn how much money you have. I don't care what your name is. If you know him by just one name, whether it's Russell or Oprah, I don't care who you are. Right? There's going to be people that's going to, just by default, clutch their bags, slow down when you walk near them, ask you, can you afford this, stalk you in stores, you know, having security stalk you in stores just by default of the melanin that we have, you know. And when you talk about police brutality and the police force and all that, a lot of us forget the fact that the police force historically were so-called slave catchers, right? They were hired, you know, by the overseers, because we were never slaves, we were enslaved. We didn't have slave masters, we had overseers. So they were hired by the overseers, you know, to catch us when we would get away, right? And so that is in our DNA, as it's in their DNA, to contain us, control us, to take advantage of us. You know, and so it's just the way it is. I mean, when you talk about racism, racism is a technical term about the distribution of resources and the manifestation of power and the ability to control it. Dr. Dyson said that. You know, to black people, yeah, we can be prejudiced, we can be bigoted, you know, but not racist, right? So you talk about racism. Racism is a system designed to shut out certain classes and castes and races and include others, to include others at the exclusion of others. So, you know, getting rid of racism is getting rid of the system, is tearing down the system. And Audre Lorde said it best. She said, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. Plain and simple. So yeah, the Jesus Common Movement, the Jesus Common Movement is not just this movement that has this cute slogan that helps raise the self-esteem of our youth. When you say genius is common, that is one of the most political statements you can make. Because what it's doing is it's throwing a dagger into the heart of elitism. And that's why I said that the Genius is Common Movement, metaphorically speaking, is about tearing down the Berlin Wall of our genius and putting it in the hands of the people where it belongs. Right? And so, historically, you know, when you talk about geniuses, what they don't talk about is all of the people that are autistic, the genius of people that have autism. I've witnessed it. People that were autistic who could listen to music one time and play it back verbatim, right? What they don't talk about historically are the people that they were so-called historical geniuses that had mental disorders, right? Abraham Lincoln suffered from depression, right? Ludwig von Beethoven was bipolar. Michelangelo suffered from autism. Charles Dickens suffered from depression. Charles Darwin suffered from agoraphobia. Winston Churchill, bipolar. Leo Tolstoy, depression. Isaac Newton had everything. And even Dr. King was rumored to have bipolar disorder. You know, so it's just one of those things that it's a politic to crazy, right?
Yes.
The politics, you know, real talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, yes, we have been socially engineered to think the way we think, to move the way we move, to eat the way we eat. Right? We've been socially engineered to have where we were killing each other. Right? It's not by coincidence. That's all by design. Black on black violence.
Every last part of this is by design, exactly.
It's all by design. But the thing about it is,
what they don't want you to know is when we have to be careful with the black-on-black violence, because that's a lot of social engineering in terms of that particular word stem, black-on-black violence and what it connotes. Well, guess what? Is there much black-on-black violence in Sweden? Not much, right? You know why? Because we're not there as much. But there's a lot of Sweden on Sweden. There's a lot of Sweden on Sweden violence in Sweden. There's a lot of Irish on Irish violence in Ireland. There's a lot of Japanese on Japanese violence in Japan. But we buy into the black on black violence.
Yes.
You know, those are all social constructs. Those are all social constructs to paradigm shift the way we think about ourselves in relation to others. Plain and simple. You know, plain and simple.
And they use
engineering to do it. You know?
Yes, this is what, you know, part of what I was saying earlier, and I thank you so much for, you know, making that even more clear than more than we could ever know. So I wanna just take a moment now to recognize my sponsor for the show tonight. And after I come back, the phone lines will be open. So whoever's out there wants to join into the conversation, we would love to hear what your genius is, or just you can ask me a question or Bruce a question. So here's a recognition to my sponsor, Ultimate Health and Chiropractic Center. The mission of Ultimate Health and Chiropractic Center is to help patients achieve a higher level of health in order to manifest and potential. The first important step is to help patients get out of pain. And we are confident that we can decrease your pain by using the varied and specialized resources that we have in our office. Our list of services include anti-aging and longevity, nutrition and weight loss, orthotics, pregnancy chiropractic care, nutrition response testing, and personal injury care. Call today at area code 610-245-3065, located at 111 Bala Avenue, Bala Cynwyd, PA, 19004. Again, thank you, Ultimate Health and Chiropractic Center, for sponsoring tonight's show. So, yes, I'm back, and I'm going to just call out some numbers, and if the callers want to join in, please I would love to hear from you. Area code 954.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Greetings. I'm just listening, but it's a great talk. It's really inspiring. It's just things that you think out to yourself, but you don't really always talk about it inside the community. But it's definitely, especially the end part about the black-on-black crime. No one ever mentions the white-on-white crime or anything else. You know, it's always speculated that we have the most, our community is the most people that kill each other, but people do kill in their own community. So if you live in an area that's black, of course you're going to kill black people. So it's not a... make us look like we're monsters, but that's not what it is. People kill in their own community.
Exactly.
Exactly.
What is your name?
Oh, my name is C. Sherelle.
Oh, nice to connect with you.
Thank you. But yeah, I just
thank you.
A comment? Any question?
About. No, I'm just listening in, but I think that was a good point you said, because people really, the news, they just tell us what we, they just make it look one way, so the news is really not. It's just one-sided.
Yeah, very one-sided. And that's a very good point that you made. And it's important that we understand the fact that the elite media is the gatekeeper to the state, which is the gatekeeper to the ruling class. That's the bottom line. So they're going to always come up with a narrative that's going to be about upholding whatever it is they're doing to keep people suppressed and oppressed. So, in other words, even in art, like you look at the critic, whether it's the fashion critic, whether it's the art critic, whether it's the critic, you will always get thumbs down if you are or your music, pop, I don't care what it is. If it's not, if it's against the status quo, it's going to get 2 thumbs up. If it's in favor of the status quo, it's going to get 2 thumbs up. Because of the fact that the critic is the gatekeeper to the state, but the gatekeeper to the ruling class as well. So it's not just media elite, critic elite as well. There's an anti-elite that we just happen to have genius in our rifle scope. But we're not stopping there, because what we're doing is saying, you know what, we're about erasing elitism in all its shapes, colors, creeds. We're going to call it out. We're going to call it out. And Mumia Abu-Jamal said it best. He said the state would rather me have a Uzi than a microphone. And I stated that the world would rather have a million rappers talking about kill, kill, kill than to have one poet talking about the day the CIA killed Lumumba. So you make a very good point about the media.
Yeah, very it's a point. Lot of, you know, even with the starting so young, when you see the children who pick out the doll babies, they think it's bad or ugly or this or that, and they all point to that doll that's black. And this, so it starts very young, just not really believing in yourself. So it's kind of hard tapping your genius when you told from such a child, from a child, that you're a nobody or nothing. And even if you wasn't told that, it's just psychologically you think that.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's a very good point. And Buckminster Fuller was a philosopher. He said, every child is born a genius, but the process of life de-geniuses them, takes the genius out of them, right? And we as educators and activists and people that just love our people, it's important for us to paradigm shift the way our children feel about themselves and to really buy them black dolls and have black princesses like My Little Princess, with Anitra, you know, Hall, who's a part of the Geniuses Common Movement, as My Little Princess, right? You know, Israel Cook was a part of the Geniuses Common Movement. You know, he has PrincessPlanet.com, right? So we need to create, whether it's clothing or poetry or books or toys or anything that can celebrate who we are and celebrate our blackness to help offset everything that has been going on. It's for us. We're responsible for that.
I think once we wake up as a people, that's what the fear is. Once we tap into our power, the power would be just afraid of, you know, to sell that melanin, to tap into that and to see who you really are, to just release the veil. And it's like, wow, that's who I am. But if you was taught from so young that you're nobody, once again, you know, even just how we got to this country, this slavery and things of that nature, everything is negative. So you can't even see beyond your community sometimes, especially if you haven't even traveled so far outside of your community. But a lot of people, so it starts really young. You just do affirmation with your children. Just put stickers, I am a genius, just affirming that around your house, just saying that, practicing that in the mirror. I think that's a good.
That's a very good point, too. I mean, you know, I mean, Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man's obedience to his own genius is faith in his purest form. Faith in his purest form. Man's obedience to his own genius is faith in his purest form. Right? And Buddha said, your worst enemy can't harm you as much as your unguarded thought. Enemy can't harm you, right? Unguarded thought. So it's our responsibility to get into the heads of our kids and label them genius.
Thank you guys so much. I enjoyed the exchange between the two of you. This was great. Thank you, Steve Sherrell.
I know we're just taking over the show, right?
No, you didn't take over the show at all.
It was fun.
I loved listening to you. It was great. I wanted to see if somebody else is out there that wants to say something. I have area code 561.
Hey there, how are you?
Hey.
Hello.
Yes, I certainly like to say I really enjoying this subject, and it's something that's very, very, very much needed.
And on the topic of genius,
as you mentioned that, we certainly all have it. And when I think of genius, you know, I envision a light bulb, you know, lighting up. And and it's that aha moment. It's like, you know, I got it. And in my case, you know, it's that moment where you realize that, you know, all of these things that we've been going through, you know, the adversities, the racism, the heartbreak, you know, the losses, and all of these things, you know, when we wake up and we realize these things are just building us up, especially if we have faith in our Creator. And when we, the moment when we lose that victim mentality and we realize we're victors, you know, see, that's genius.
There you go.
And when we can capture, you know, when we can cleanse our mind and we're not bitter anymore, we use our energy to become better. You know, see, that's genius. And I appreciate that, you know, we all have, you know, different levels of genius in us. But nevertheless, we all have everything that we need. We already have it. And it's that moment when we realize that, you know, that things will change for the better for all of us. And I think we all have a responsibility to share that with each other. I appreciate what you're doing.
Can you state your name, caller? Can you state your name? I didn't get your name.
No, I'm John Slocum. John Slocum.
Nice.
Thank you. That was excellent, what you just said. I loved it.
Absolutely. I like the part about the bitter part, because Miri Baraka said they call us bitter because they've bitten us. They only call us bitter because they've bitten us. Right? You know, they call us bitter because they've bitten into us. You know, and he's absolutely right. You know, he's absolutely right, that point he made. Definitely.
Thank you so very much, John, for calling in. That was a great exchange. Thank you for adding your wisdom, and thank you, C. Sherelle, as well. Both of you added such great wisdom to the show. Thank you.
No doubt.
Yes. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Bruce, was, you know, the movement is just growing and growing and growing. How do you do all of it? How are you so successful and having such a massive movement that's in 50 states and now going in other countries? How do you do that?
Well, you know, the thing about it is I'm a spiritual brother. I'm a child of God. And in the Bible, God says, lean not towards your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So it's just one of those things where I'm just following his lead, my Heavenly Father's lead. I'm just really just going by my spirit, going by that spirit. I'm spirit-led, right? And this is a message for all the entrepreneurs that's listening, or, you know, those that want to be entrepreneurs. It's just about you just following your spirit, you know, and when you follow your spirit, it's going to lead you to where you want to go, whatever goal you have, what have you. So in reference to the Genius Common Movement, obviously it's something that I'm very passionate about. And when you're passionate about something, you give your heart, your blood, your sweat, your tears to it, right? You know? And so, you know, it's like, it's so, you would think that, you know, wow, it's in 10 countries and I'm always on the phone and, you know, with this person and that person, speaking to like thousands of people and being responsible for this, responsible for that. I love every bit of it, you know, because this is my ministry. And so I don't feel it, right? Because of the fact that it's just, to me, it's like breathing, being able to, you know, be in charge of this and juggle that. It's upon my genius. And there's a quote that says there's no such thing as, you know, extraordinary people. It's ordinary people that do things extraordinarily well, right?
Oh, that's
And, you know, the thing is, I love what I do, you know. And, you know, Arthur Schopenhauer, the German philosopher, said it best. He said, talent hits a target that no one else can hit. Genius hits a target that no one else can see. That's what you're
doing. Oh, that's deep. I love it.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what your genius is. So every last one of us, we have that genius seed in us. And we marvel at other people, and we're like, wow, like, how could you, like Denzel Washington, like, how could you memorize all of those lines? Or Malik Yoba, how could you memorize all of those lines as an actor? How could you memorize that? And they'll tell you it's like breathing for them. That's the God in us. That's that genius seed in us. When you're tapping into, you know, and the thing about it is the status quo and the elite, they didn't mind labeling us talented. They didn't mind labeling us gifted. Just stay away from the G word in reference to genius. Stay away from it. So, I mean, as we speak, people all around the country, not in the country, not in the country, are debating the word genius because of the word, because of the Genius is Common movement. Fiery debate. Fiery debate. On our website, I look at the analytics. We're getting a lot of traffic in Ukraine, and Slovakia. You know, people are debating the word genius. It's a blessing. You know, people are taking the bull by the horn and having that sense of self-determination. You know, and, you know, when Confucius, this is very important for your listeners to listen to, when Confucius was asked, How do you take over a country? What would you do to take over a country? You know what he said? The first thing I'd do is rectify the language. Take control of the language. Right? Why do you think we speak English? Because we were colonized by the English. Why do you think we speak Spanish? Because we were colonized by the Spanish. Portuguese because we were colonized by the Portuguese. So he said, rectify the language. Alik Shahada said it best when he said, we are fighting on a language chessboard. It was all the linguistic pieces are white. So we can't sleep on language and the power of the word. Right? We can't sleep on language and the power of the word. That's why it's important for us to teach our children to have a higher sense of vocabulary, a higher sense.
I agree with 100%.
You feel me? A higher sense. Don't stop Google Gaga, Google Gaga to your children. Don't be Google Gaga with them. Speak those million-dollar words in front of them. Let them step up. Imprint them. Educate them.
Oh, yeah, you're putting it down, and I love what you're saying. I thank you, thank you, thank you. I see another caller. There's area code 646. Would you like to say something?
Yes, hi. Good evening. My name is Linda, and
hey, Linda.
I just want to say that I just really appreciate the Genius is Common movement. And
Wow, thank you.
As you were exploring issues specifically around African Americans, I thought, oh, all of those things are true. And then I heard you speak about the Genius is Common is also in some European countries as well, but it's in 50 states and 10 countries. And it brings
Absolutely.
To mind that you have the opportunity to build bridges for all people to cross for
Absolutely.
Better understanding. I wanted you to talk about that a little bit more.
Absolutely.
What is your name?
We want to thank you for being on this show.
Okay. I said my name was Linda.
Linda, I'm sorry, I didn't miss that. You did say that. Thank you so much for that. And Bruce, go please answer that. That's a great question.
It's a great question. And Linda, what's happening is that in terms of the zeitgeist or the spirit of the time where we are right now, what's happening is that people are becoming more self-determined, the communication age and everything. And so the Genius is Common movement is a part of the zeitgeist in terms of the spirit of the time. So this is not a Black Lives Matter or White Lives Matter or Brown Lives Matter movement. This is a movement specifically for the entire planet, the person on the planet. And it couldn't come at a better time in this racially charged and politically charged environment.
And so the genius is kind of movement is not a homogeneous at all. It's heterogeneous.
What was the word that you used?
It's not homogeneous at all. It's heterogeneous in terms of the movement.
I don't know what that word means. So
what that means is that it's not just one dimensional in terms of just black or black and Latino. It covers all races, all its creeds, sexual orientation, you name it.
Okay.
That's a part of this movement.
Thank you.
Because every last one, because every last one of us has a genius seed in us, regardless of your race.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't come at a better time, and the reason why it came around this time is because that's in divine. Everything is in divine order.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in divine order.
Mm-hmm.
So
as
I appreciate you.
You know, as you're building these bridges and you're introducing and reminding people that each and every one of us has a gift, and that gift is our genius, and that we need to nurture and develop it. Are there things around compassion and understanding of other human beings who are different than we are that are included in the Genius is Common movement? Or
absolutely, because different
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean less than. And
mm-hmm.
you see, that's also a part of social engineering, where
mm-hmm.
the powers that be would divide us on race,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what they would do is they would use race as a way to divide the people, when in actuality, we are all one. We are all one. Thierry Chardin, a French philosopher, said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Dyer, it's not the notes that makes the music. It's the silence in between the notes that makes the music. So we are all one, and that oneness, and that's why Dr. King said what affects one directly affects another indirectly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are all one.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we get caught up in this sense of duality, or start thinking in the sense of duality, that's all a part of social engineering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some action steps that we can take to bring people together within our own communities, within our neighborhoods and our schools, and when people look different than us, or even in a workplace situation, what are one or two things that we could do?
I think, you know, first of all, if you're not either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution, I think it's for us to embrace people, regardless of what their color, race, or creed is to embrace them. You know, and to not have this sense of different, you know, you're different from me, so I'm gonna ostracize you. Or no, it's all about embracing people for who and what they are, regardless of what their race is. And that's what I do. I embrace people until they give me a reason to not embrace them. You know, I embrace people as they open. You know, and I don't come at people sideways. I just strive to just. Like a tabula rasa, like John Locke said, a blank slate. I have a blank slate mentality with people until they prove themselves otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'd like to say, there's somebody else that may want to come get into.
Okay,
the,
well, thank you very much for your
time.
You
very
I appreciate
much,
that.
I appreciate
I want to say one thing to you, Linda, though, that, you know, one of the things that I would like to do is, as a member of Genius is Common is to do exactly what you had, what your question was, is about how do we bridge the differences between us. And, you know, if we can see one another from the inside out, meaning that we're all spiritual beings, period,
mm-hmm.
and that's
mm-hmm.
really the truth of who we are, whatever color skin we have or whatever, you know, nationality or race we are really is inconsequential, because the truth of the matter is we're all spiritual beings, period. We're all children of God,
mm-hmm.
and so it really doesn't matter what color you are, what you look like, but again, you know, that's become a dominant part of our culture and our society, and the conversations definitely need to be centered around that very subject, and so we have to use very positive, compassionate language toward one another, but it just takes a lot of, you know, leadership, a lot of people, you know, role models and all that. And we just have to be willing to want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be willing to want to do that. And that's a big task. But, you know, we have to start somewhere. and uniting ourselves as a people. We do talk
Absolutely.
A lot about African Americans because it's a struggle that African Americans uniquely have been experiencing for so long, but we all have the same issues. We all want to be happy. We all want to, our children to be safe. We all want our children to be healthy. We want to live, you know, beautiful lives. So all of us have that in common. So it really doesn't matter what color you are, but we do have work to do when it comes to that, because that has been embedded in our minds how different we are. It's not the truth, but it is something that we do have to break through. And I want to thank you so much, Linda. I loved your questions.
Thank
Very
you.
Interesting.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I just love Genius's comment. And I know it's going to grow by leaps and bounds.
Thank
and
you
we
very
are
much
going to come
support.
Together in many new ways. Okay?
Yes, yes, yes. I look forward
okay.
to working with you as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank
okay.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 856 area code. Would you like to say something?
Yes. Sage?
Hi, what is your name?
My name is Rosemary.
Oh,
and
hi, Rosemary. Hey. How are you?
How are you? I just want to say that I think you have a great guest, and I just want to congratulate you on your broadcast. And I also agree that that we're spiritual beings having this human experience, and that it's going to take great work, and that everybody that realizes that they are a spiritual being should contribute, and you know, in whatever small way that they can, because it's
Amen.
A process that's been going on for years and years. Even biblically, we see, from the beginning, how the cultures and racism and greed has separated the human race. And so what we can do now, we do, and we set an example for the people that are following us, because it is a spiritual warfare that we're in. And and it's one that's been going on for a long time, and it's not to say that it won't end.
Right.
But when it ends, it will be because of the warfare. And so
that's what you said about those of us who are spiritual should be willing to do the work. And that's saying that once you know better, you should do better. And you're right. There are many of us out here who know better, but we do nothing. We stand aside and do nothing. We hoard our wisdom. We hoard our knowledge as if we're saving it up for retirement or something instead of giving it out, when we have it. And that's one of the things that Genius's Common will do. We're going to get out there and, just like what you said, as being spiritual beings, there's enough of us in this world that can make a difference. And I thank you, Rosemary, so much. That was great.
Was
it just
point.
Prompted me to say that. It reminded me of to say what I just said about, us being responsible, for our wisdom and the knowledge that we have. We have to share it. We have to give it away.
Yes. That is so true. I mean, wow. I mean, she really nailed it. A lot of us, we look to the government, as being our savior, right? The government never controls itself. It only tries to control its subjects. Bill Casey said that, right? So,
yes.
It's all about discipline and punish, discipline and control. So we're looking in the wrong place. In terms of the Savior, the government. And you're absolutely right when you mentioned that Bible verse in Ephesians, that this is a war, not of the flesh, but of the spirit, and those people in high places and principalities.
Yes.
We must put on the full armor of the Lord in order to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yes.
That's why they don't want you to know. They don't want us to know about the law of attraction. They don't want us to know about the secret. Well, the secret is the law of attraction. That which is likened to itself is drawn. Period. That which is likened to itself is drawn, And when you read, the Master Key system of Charles Hanno, he said the world within is the cause, the world without is the effect.
That's right.
So we can't play that blame game. As a man thinketh, so is he. As a woman thinketh, so is she. And as you continue to think, so you shall remain. Rene Descartes, the French philosopher, said, I think, therefore I am. That's what we need to teach our children.
Yes, that, and sad because by the time that we ourselves get this information and understand what's happening, you know, now we have to turn around and try to teach our children so that they can live hopefully a much better life, you know, after us. Because, you mm-hmm. know, as we see and as history has shown us, you know, these types of things go on all the time. And that's why I said that it is spiritual warfare and that only that that God will end. But while we're here, there's mm-hmm. things that we can do. And so, like Sage was saying, for all of us that know, whatever we can do, we must do. Because if everybody did, if all of us who have that spiritual quality in us, right, contribute, we could be a force to be reckoned with. And I'll say that's why we've lasted this long, because of people like Sage and you, my brother, and this broadcast. And so I'm going to go ahead on and hang up. Thank you for that.
That was profound. Beautiful. That was very profound.
Wisdom. You're welcome.
Wisdom speaks again. Thank you. And the show is winding down now. So, Bruce, I would like to know if you have a final thought before we end the show tonight.
Yeah, I want to just thank everybody for listening in at Dudley Black with Tryon Family Channel. I want to thank you, Sage, for having me as your guest on your show. I want to thank the listeners for listening in, you know, and I just really want us to continue to study, you know, and be conscious and continue to work towards self-determination. You know, I mean, just like standardized testing and all of these different forms of social engineering, you know, we have to be aware of that in order for us to combat it, right? You know, socialized testing robs our youth of the individual manner of learning. You know, it's nothing but a tool of the elite to sift out the wheat from the chaff. You know, where those at the top are charted off documents, right? While the hopeful and the reachable becomes hopeless and reachless. So the so-called child left behind model is laden with cultural bias for the sole purpose of gentrifying each child's right to an education. And that's why Mark Twain said, don't let your schooling interfere with your education, because there is a difference. There is a difference. So we need to really, really do more homeschooling. We need to really just educate our children as best we can to empower them, you know. But this was fun. I had fun on the show. I definitely had a nice time, and I appreciate everybody's support. And I would implore your audience to go to Genius is Common and do your own Genius is Common video. Pop it on YouTube. Say your name, say what your genius is, and then say Genius is Common. On our website, we have over 360 videos, and Sage, yours is one of them, and I love that video you did. Say your name, say what your genius is, and then say Genius is Common. Upload it to YouTube. In the subject heading, put Genius is Common. Hyphen your name or hashtag Genius is Common and get plugged in. For real.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce. I just have one last thing to say before I say goodnight. I want to thank all four callers. The conversations were engaging. You all expressed such profound wisdom. And I thank you all for calling in. It was a lot of fun and eye-opening. Spirited conversations, and I really appreciate that. So I want to say that I see Genius is Common as being nothing less than a modern-day renaissance, a reconstruction or even a rebirth of the mind and spirit and how we value ourselves, to see ourselves in a positive light, and that's how I see it. And Bruce, you are an amazing exemplar and leader, and I am so proud of you and really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I'm proud of you as well. You know,
thank you so much, and thank you all, and have a good night, pleasant dreams, everyone, peace and prosperity, namaste.
God bless.
God bless.
Do you know that you are a genius, that you were born a genius? There's something you can do that nobody else can do.
There has never been anyone who existed in the past who was able to do what you could do. There will never be anyone in the future who will be able to do what you can do. And there is nobody alive today that could be the genius that you are. Your self-worth is determined by what God knows you are, not by what other people think you are. I'll repeat it. Your self-worth is determined by what God knows you are, not by what other people think you are. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like, or what labels society has placed on you. You are a genius. Love yourself enough to accept your flaws. Be bold enough to live by your own terms. Light the lamp of your own heart to brighten the path to your destiny. And always, always believe in yourself. My genius is to help you acknowledge and embody this truth. Genius is calming.